In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us on this day after Thanksgiving. Some call it Black Friday, but I think we'd call it something better, though my mind's not quick enough to think of something clever.
Yeah, a lot of people, unfortunately, get in debt, big-time debt on this day.
Yeah. The more you spend, the more you save, right?
Some might be listening on the car trying to make sure they're there before the doors open and getting in the long line. Yeah. I guess it's not as bad as it used to be when that first came out. I mean, you'd hear people being actually almost stomped to death because they fell down and the herd just walked right over them.
I think in the days of Amazon and so forth that everything's gotten pushed up and now it seems like a week ahead of time the stores are doing the same thing. So, yeah, I think probably the lines are shorter on Thanksgiving. Anyway, we are here today to talk through the book of Judges. We're in chapter 17 with a young man named Micah and the way that God's word is being violated in his family. And Pastor Ken, take us through that.
Well, I think when we look at Judges, Pastor Mark, we see a big issue here in chapter 17 is the failure of the family. I mean, morally bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt. It's actually affecting the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the nation didn't know God. They didn't know his commands. They're violating his commands. We ended off that it was basically a society filled with violence. And as much as we've had God's word in public places, I believe we still have the Ten Commandments. In the Supreme Court building above where the court, where the justices make decisions. I remember one guy telling me, we were taking a tour of that. And he said, there's Moses above the justices with the Ten Commandments. And he said, the curator taking us through, I said, is that Moses with the Ten Commandments? And he said, no, that's Moses, but it's with the Bill of Rights. And he quickly said, well, were the Bill of Rights written in Hebrew? Because on those stones above the justices, those stones are written in Hebrew. Oh, it's the Ten Commandments. And yet, because we have put God off, I mean, we've taken God out of music, of television, of our country, even in the political realm. I mean, we always want to say, God bless America.
Mm-hmm.
But man, no other time do we want to even acknowledge God.
Yeah.
In fact, over here at the Sussex Hamilton High School, a young lady was being honored for some perfection she had on a test. There were three.
Hmm.
And this young lady had a sweatshirt on that said, Jesus loves you. And they blurred out in the picture what her...
Did they?
Yeah. What her sweatshirt said.
Hmm.
And I thought, here we are. And look at our society right now. God's saying, hey, how's it going without me?
Hmm.
Well, our society is totally filled with violence, total idolatry, gross immorality, utterly pagan practices. And yet, in this particular time in the book of Judges, they thought, hey, we're doing that which is right in our own eyes. Get that right in our own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I left off with wanting to give you some applications as we continue on in chapter 17. But just from these first six verses, we all live with the threat of pressure from the world, just like Israel lived with the Canaanite pressure to embrace immorality and error. We live in a country, ladies and gentlemen, that has continually put pressure on us to believe that the Bible is not a reliable book of absolutes. And Pastor Mark, one thing I love to say is, hold on a second. I don't believe that the ones we read about in Bible would have been willing to die for what they didn't believe was true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, the Bible is God's book to the world today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet many would say, well, I don't believe the Bible because I just don't believe in any absolutes. In other words, what I do is what matters. I'm the boss. And that's exactly what evolution has brought into the philosophy of education today, is that, no, there's no God.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it just happened. Jerry Fry, who is one of our teachers here at Brookside, loves going into creation. Mm-hmm. And I just heard a lecture he had on creation versus evolution. He said, you know, this whole thing with evolution, it's like you put all of the parts of a 747 on the tarmac and a tornado comes by and voila, you've got a 747.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked what he said afterwards. He said, the next question I like to ask is, where did the parts come from? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, no, we will believe anything other than what God has given to us. Look around.
Mm-hmm.
Paul told young Timothy, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For, get this description here. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power, and from such turn away. What a description of where we are in our society today.
Mm-hmm.
And friends, we are called here as believers to be a beacon of light, an example of what is right and what is wrong. I remember when I was working with the Westminster Police as a chaplain, they said, Ken, we want you to minister to our police officers and their families. You're not out there to minister to the community. But Pastor Mark, I remember one night that I was riding along, and sergeants had gotten a call, hey, you need to get up here to Home Depot. We pulled over like 26 bikers, and they're all teenagers on these croc rockets. And we get there, and the whole group is very disrespectful. And so not only is the sergeant there, but they call the captain. Captain comes out, and he says to this one teenage girl, he says, young lady, what's your name? I don't have to tell you. Young lady, I need to know the phone number to call your mother. No, I'm not giving you that. You don't need to know what my mom's phone number is. And I'll never forget, he looked at one of the female officers. He said, cuff her. Read her rights. And that night, they dropped me off at the station about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And as I was going to my car, here comes the mother out with this girl.
Hmm.
Very disrespectful. And they were screaming at each other, top of their lungs, you know. And I thought, they need some counsel and some help, but that's not my position right here. And I thought, man, the daughter sounds just like the mom. Neither one has any respect for each other, but she definitely has no respect for authority.
Yeah.
And adults who display passive rebellion and young people who display open, defiant rebellion, these are the days we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And dear friends, as believers, it is an exciting time for us to be able to be a light in this dark world. May we not be silent and ineffective when we need to speak up for the kingdom and for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And as we just celebrated Thanksgiving, it's important to go back and to remember mm-hmm. all that God has done. I hope you did that as a family. Because memory is a wonderful thing, you know, we're to remember so we won't forget.
Mm-hmm.
But yet memory can be something that as a gift fades as time passes. I mean, I hate to admit this, but Pastor Mark, we're getting old. It seems like we're getting old quickly.
Yep. Yeah.
Someone put it very well. They said about the time your face clears up, your mind gets fuzzy. You ever find yourself playing the same name game? You remember how it goes. My wife Kathy and I can be driving along, and I can say, honey, do you remember old so-and-so? And she'll tell me, yes. Yeah, her name was Martha. And I'll say, yeah, that's right. I remember when she, and Kathy will say, yes, she did this and that for us. And I'll respond, oh, yes, I remember. You know, one of the many benefits of growing old together as a couple is that Kathy can finish my sentences for me, you know. Years ago, after the children of Israel successfully came into the promised land, God had them erect a monument of 12 stones in the riverbed on the west side of the Jordan in the area of Gilgal. God wanted it to be a reminder to the generations to come. Listen in on a grandpa and his grandson taking a little walk there in the National Park of Gilgal. Papa, Papa, inquires his young boy as he points to the stack of 12 stones while yanking on his grandfather's tunic. Papa, what do these stones mean? Can I go over there and climb on them? Oh, no, Jacob. No, no, no. That's not a jungle, Jim said. We can't climb on them. Oh, no, Jacob. Those stones are a memorial for us. So remember, those stones remind us that many years ago, after God had delivered us from the Egyptians, the people of Israel traveled 40 years in the wilderness, pitching tents, digging graves, until the children of Israel finally crossed the Jordan River and entered into the promised land. Before God let them loose and replaced grapes for manna and milk and honey for lukewarm water, he commanded them all to build this monument to be a reminder to them of God's enduring faithfulness. And so, Jacob, we must never forget it. And we read that these stones, we're told in Joshua 4, may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for you a memorial to the children of Israel forever. I mean, the stones, my friends, were really the legacy stones sitting on the edge of the banks of the Jordan River, and they were ancient landmarks. And God said, don't move the ancient landmarks. And with that memorial, the Israelites learned an object lesson on how to create a legacy of obedience to God's plan. I mean, you might not have stones as reminders, but we have plaques and we have buildings and we have statues that remind us about a person or a great sacrifice that they made for our community or for our nation. Many reminders are stone markers in a cemetery as a memorial of someone's life. The dates of the person's birth and death are separated. If you've seen them, they're separated by a dash. The dash is representative of what happened in that person's life. We'll go out and decorate their graves with flags and flowers, and life goes by fast, and so we do well to remember them. And maybe possibly Thanksgiving, you were remembering your grandpa or your great-grandpa and his testimony that he had in your life. God, he doesn't want us to forget who he is and what he's done for us. Unfortunately, though, we remember our failures far more than God's faithfulness. I hope as you begin to take this next weekend and the next week that you will focus on God's faithfulness. Greatest affirmation in all of Scripture is simply, God is faithful.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.